by Freya and Sadie. Rao flew from the burning forest, her three eggs in her claws. She turned to look at her ruined home. A gust of wind blew one of her eggs out of her grip, and it fell toward the fire. She dived for the egg, but it was too late. It had fallen into the flames. Rao looked down, tears in her eyes. She heard the other dragons flying off in the distance, took one last look at the fire, then went to follow the rest of her kind. The fire was big enough that even the humans far away in the village could see it. They knew that if they didn't stop it, it would burn their village to ashes. They went to collect all the water they could hold, then ran toward the fire and put it out so it couldn't burn any of their land. Two villagers, Iris and Francis, volunteered to climb a tree to put the rest of the fire out. They saw something shiny on their way up. Iris grabbed it.
It's only an egg.
Ooh, but it's big.
Come on, let's make sure the fire's out.
There, it's out.
Let's get back to town so we can show everyone the egg.
The egg hatched. 9 years later.
We're going to be late for school.
Not yet. We have to feed Cobra.
Fine, but let's hurry.
They rushed down the sidewalk, Francis in the lead.
I don't think we need to feed her.
Why?
Iris looked into the pen. The back wall was melted, and Cobra was gone.
What has that dragon done?
Cobra ran through the forest. After all those years of being cooped up like a farm animal, she had run away. As Cobra got deeper into the forest, she looked around and saw burnt caves and piles of fallen rocks. Her heart pounded fast as she looked around at the ruins. Cobra examined a scratch mark on a rock. In the corner of her eye, she saw a hole made by venom. She walked closer, spit, and made a matching hole next to it.
Uh-oh, anyone here?
Then she flew off in search of her family.
Cobra!
They've already skipped half of the school day. I don't want to get in trouble.
Let's check the forest first.
I know I dropped it somewhere around here.
They saw Rattle's tail sticking out from the trees.
Cobra, there you are. We've been so worried.
Rattle turned around and looked at the two girls.
I'm not Cobra. Who is Cobra and who are you?
Well, it depends. Who are you and why you are here?
My name is Rattle and I'm here so I can have my lost egg back.
Wait, you lost your egg here?
Yes, I lost it in the 1320 fire.
We found your egg. Remember how we mentioned Cobra earlier?
I don't like where this is going.
So that means Cobra is your daughter. We can help you look for her. She ran away this morning.
That means she could be anywhere. Dragons can fly?
Yeah, we know. You're strong enough to carry two kids, right?
Yes, but...
Let's go.
The two of them climbed onto Rattle's back, and they took off. They came into a clearing. In the middle of it was a tent-like thing.
Over here, there's a pile of food.
That's not food. That's a pile of weeds and dirt.
I don't think this is a human's tent. This clearing is in the sky. This tent is too big, and that stuff is not human's food.
It's a perfect size for a young dragon.
Dragon?
Francis walked into the tent and picked up three things.
I'm sure these are Cobra scales.
Yes, we found her.
Let's wait for Cobra here.
Cobra flew through the sky, looking for a place to land. Flying wasn't her favorite thing. She saw a bit of green from the corner of her eye, dived toward it, landed, and fell asleep. 1 hour later, she woke up and looked around.
Where am I?
You were in the Dragon Kingdom. I'm taking you to meet the Queen.
Dragon Kingdom? I'm finally here.
Hurry up.
They walked into a big palace. In a chair before them was a beautiful color rainbow-colored dragon. She smiled at Cobra.
Hello. I don't think we have met before. Your name is?
Cobra. My egg was lost back in 1320. I came to find my real family.
I remember that incident. Your mother's name is Rattle. She's not here at the moment. She has been searching for you for the last 8 years. I'm sorry, but I don't know where she is. You are free to stay at my palace so you can rest after your long flight. There is an extra room on the top floor.
This way. Here you are.
Cooper sat down in the corner of the room.
I might as well take a nap.
The next morning, Cooper decided to go back to her old camping spot, climbed onto the roof, and took flight.
I don't see any sign of Cobra. We might as well leave.
It has been a whole day.
They took flight.
Ow! Why did you knock us down?
Who are you?
Rattle.
You're Rattle?
Yes, I just said that. Who are you?
Cobra. Cobra. Your daughter.
Dun, dun, dun!
Canned Peaches by Hazel and Paige. As Rose sat in school doodling flowers in her notebook, she realized she was supposed to be taking notes on her algebra assignment. So she quickly jotted September 1st, 1939 at the top of her page. Rose jumped out of her uncomfortable wooden stool that she had been stuck on for what seemed like forever and hurried out of the classroom. She ran down the hall and out the door, taking a gasp of fresh air. Then she met her sister Mary and they started to walk home.
What was that? We have to get home.
Bob just has us closer.
Mary was right. The girls' grandparents' house was only two blocks away from their school. They arrived to see their normally happy grandparents had looks of terror on their faces. They rushed the girls into the house and showed them to a hallway with a red rug with yellow fringe.
What's going on? Whoa, it's a little trap door.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Girls, this is very important. Go to the cellar and keep quiet. There's canned peaches for you to eat down there. There might be noise up here, but you have to be quiet. Understand?
Yes, but why? What's going on?
I can't tell you now. There's not enough time. But stay safe and only come out when it's absolutely necessary.
You aren't coming?
No, there's not enough room. If we're not up here when you come out, don't come looking for us.
As the girls settled in the cellar, they said bye to their grandparents one last time.
We love you.
And just like that, the door was closed and the rug was put back on it like nothing ever happened. After only 4 hours, Rose and Mary heard yelling in German and clattering up above. They heard their grandparents plead to leave them alone, but after that, it was silent. They stayed in the cellar living off canned peaches for 3 days before making the decision to leave. They climbed out of the cellar and saw that their grandparents' house was a mess, and they couldn't find them anywhere. They then peeked through the front door. What they saw was horrible.
There's ash on every house.
Mary and Rose walked around the block and saw a little shop with TVs in the window. They walked up to it and heard news that was unimaginable.
After the Germans invaded Poland, local Jews are required to wear a yellow star on their sleeve.
But Rose, we're Jewish.
We have to get home now.
They started home. They were stopped by two German officers.
Where are you girls going?
We were going home.
One of the men grabbed Rose and the other took Mary. They threw them into a train car with many other people in it. The train car was meant for animals and was dark and clammy. They sat with everyone on the floor because there were no seats. It smelled horrid due to the buckets in one corner, filled to the brim with vomit and other bodily fluids. The train started moving and the vomit sloshed out of the bucket and onto the floor. After about 2.5 hours, the train came to an abrupt stop and the doors were opened by officers, forcing people off. Rose and Mary stepped off and saw tall barbed wire and brick buildings. One of the officers sneered and said with a thick German accent,
"Welcome to Auschwitz."
"Come with me."
Everyone was led to a brick building where one at a time they sat at a table across from a young man who was wearing a navy blue striped button-up shirt and cap. Rose was instructed to put her left arm on the table. She did so, and the man across from her pulled out a wooden stick with a needle on the end. He dipped the needle in ink and etched the number 1044 into her forearm. She was then led outside where she sat on the ground and waited for Mary. Mary came out of the building with the number 1046 on her arm. After that, they were put into another building where they undressed and put on the same navy-striped clothes as everyone else.
Faster!
Next, they shaved everyone's head. When everything was done, it was already nighttime, and all of the prisoners had to sleep outside.
Mary, this place is awful. We have to get out of here.
Rose stayed up late that night to scope everything out. She noticed that by a couple of hours after the sun went down, all of the Nazis on guard clumped into a group and started to talk and smoke together. She thought this would be the perfect time tomorrow to sneak out. They were all woken up the next morning before the sun even came up. They had to do pointless work and got almost no food. By the time night rolled around, Rose was ready to leave.
Are you ready, Mary?
No, I don't think it's safe.
What if I go first and then come back for you in 2 days? Then you'll know it's safe.
Okay, I guess that's all right.
Okay, stay safe. I'll see you in 2 days.
Because it was so dark, Rose could only see the Nazis by the soft glow of their cigarettes. But just to be safe, she stayed close to the ground. She managed to get almost over the fence when one of the Nazis noticed her silhouette on the fence and started to shoot at her.
Get up!
She was scrambling to get over the fence in time, but one of the Germans had already shot her. She flinched at the hot, sharp pain of the bullet grazing her leg, but she couldn't turn around now because he knew they would kill her for sure. She climbed down the fence and limped down the gravel road for over an hour before she came across a large barn.
This will be a good place to hide until I can get back.
They found us.
The Adventure by Amelia and Kat. On a cold, rainy day in downtown Brooklyn, 6-year-old Amy Harris was left home alone. It wasn't on purpose or anything like that. Her mother had tried to hire a babysitter, but there was a big misunderstanding in which the babysitter thought that Miss Harris meant 7 p.m., when in reality she meant 7 a.m. This all led to little Amy being home without supervision for 8 hours. Now, it should be known that Amy's a very adventurous little girl, and that she gets bored quite easily. So honestly, it shouldn't have been surprising when she decided to go on a walk in the rain. She grabbed her yellow raincoat and put on her pink flowered boots, then opened up the front door and headed out into the big city. She wandered for a while at first, walking down alleys and across streets, but eventually she found an area that she wanted to explore, the park. Her mother took her to the park every Saturday, and it was a place that Amy looked forward to going all week.
Hey, so have you heard about Mary?
Oh, I know, right? Scandalous.
Hey, look at that kid on the playset.
Oh my god, how sad is that? She has no friends to play with.
And no parents either? That just doesn't seem right. Maybe we should go see if she's okay?
No, Christy, you are such a worrywart. I'm sure she's fine. The parents in big cities like these are way more chill than where you're from. I'm sure they're just walking the dog nearby or something. Anyway, we have a marathon to train for, and we can't afford to take so many breaks.
Yeah, seriously, Christy, stop worrying so much. You should just listen to Annabelle.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, come on.
Amy stayed at the park for a while. She went on the monkey bars and swings, but it was no fun. There were no other kids to play with. So Amy decided to move on and go to the clothes store. Amy always had wanted to try on clothes by herself, so she crossed the street and entered the building.
Hello, welcome to Brooklyn Threads.
Hi.
If you need anything, please feel free to ask.
Okay, where's the shoes?
Over that way.
Thanks.
Please put that back. Just take a couple things at a time. No, please put all that back. Don't take the whole shelf. I'm the one who's going to have to clean all that up.
Where's the real clothes?
Over there.
Okay, I want some new t-shirts.
Great.
Ooh, hoodies.
Amy had finished trying on almost all the clothes in the store, and soon she was very bored. So she left behind a very distressed store attendant and kept on wandering. Soon, she stopped at a place with a huge sign above the door. She knew it said bank because she recognized the letters from her favorite movie, Mary Poppins. Amy walked in and up to the front desk.
Excuse me, I'm really confused.
Why would that be?
Well, why isn't anyone singing?
Pardon?
No one is singing.
What would they be singing about?
They would be doing it like this. If you vest your chubbins wisely in the bank, safe and sound, soon that tuppence, if you vest it in the bank, will come pound.
Please stop.
And you'll achieve that sense of conquest as your affluence expands in the hands of the directors who invest as property demands.
That was very nice, dear, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave. The bank is a quiet place where people need to focus and get work done.
Well, Amy may have only been six, but she certainly knew how to read a room. And she could tell that this one was not very welcoming anymore, so she left once again. Amy's next stop took place at a drugstore. The colorful signs and promises of popcorn were just too much, and so she decided to go in.
Thank you for your business. Have a nice day.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Could I get some popcorn, please?
Sure, but I'm going to need to make a new batch because we're all out. You can go around and browse while you wait if you'd like.
Okay.
Amy had some fun looking around for a while, but eventually she found the aisle she really wanted to explore.
Cosmetics?
Now Madeline, the cashier, knew that when a younger child came into the store alone, there was bound to be trouble. So naturally, she kept a close eye on her through the security cameras. When Amy headed down the cosmetics aisle, she grew even more worried and decided to go over there herself.
Hi, are you finding everything okay? Can I help with anything?
Yes. Am I putting this lipstick on right?
No, you really aren't. And you aren't really supposed to be using that in the first place either. So please put it back or I'm going to have to make you pay for it.
Oh, okay. What is this stuff? Eyeshadow? Does it go in your eye?
No, it doesn't. If you put it in your eye, it will hurt very badly. Do you need me to call someone? Your parents, maybe? Do you know their
number? No.
Fernando, why on earth are you not drinking your coffee? It's going to grow cold.
You know that I don't drink coffee. It makes me super energetic.
Well, I was kind of hoping that would happen, you know, considering how quiet and slow you usually are. Why, who's this? Look, Fernando, it's a little girl. Now, where on earth are her parents? It isn't right to allow such a young girl out on the street alone. Dearie, where is your mom?
My mommy doesn't like me talking to strangers that I meet on the street.
Oh, I see. Carry on, then.
You know that girl is probably lost, right? You should have tried to help her.
I did try, but I can't help her if she can't talk to me.
The Slackers Play by Seth, Finn, Cadence, and Alec.
Beep, beep, Ryan. Beep, 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 beep,
Ryan,
beep.
My instruments are picking up a strange energy from deep inside the Quarry Forest. I think it's the Everlasting Rainbow.
That's impossible. Your instruments are just picking up the homosexual energy on this planet.
Well, if that was the case, don't you think this would have happened before? This being a planet of only queer life forms, with homosexual life forms making up 50% in all, the Everlasting Rainbow is the source of queer empowerment, and it is guarded by the queer phobians. It has the incredible ability to annihilate all queer phobia from our Earth and bring independence back to Earth's queer inhabitants.
It no longer exists, Dr. Bofenstein. It was destroyed in the queerphobian invasion centuries ago. You've been reading way too many texts from pre-queerphobian times. It's a new era now.
So that's it? You're just going to believe the queerphobians' lies of the rainbow being destroyed, even though you're looking at evidence of its existence right now? We need an elite team of queers to go on an expedition to the rainbow.
Whoa, an expedition? We never launch expeditions this quickly, especially with this little evidence.
The stakes are high, Ryan. I want the taste of independence as a gay man, don't you?
Hey, Dr. B!
Did somebody say an expedition?
Hello, Ryan. Dr. Bofenstein.
Your servants nor presence is not needed.
Yet, my chief expeditioner, could you do me the greatest favor of talking some sense into my dear colleague here?
I was hoping you could do the same for my colleague. There's multicolored waves practically bursting out of his head.
Ha! Gay jokes!
Actually, Ryan, to me you sound very paranoid and conflicted.
I'm not conflicted. It's irrational to send four people on a highly dangerous quest based on one speck of evidence.
We've gone on expeditions like that that were launched by you, Ryan. And besides, it's just the entire Queerphobian army. How bad could it be?
Splendid. Let's get this expedition on the road.
Oh yeah! Road trip, baby!
I can't believe this. You all have multicolored waves bursting out of your head.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Live a little.
Teleportation to the Query Forest will initiate in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, God. Why does it feel like my stomach is inside out?
Has it been a while since you teleported? That's what it'll feel like.
At least we have each other.
It sounds like Ryan needs a hug.
Don't touch me. Why did Dr. Bovenstein make me come along with you hooligans?
Because we need you.
Let's just get this done already to show that there isn't an everlasting rainbow.
I'm gonna go make some leaf clothes.
I'm going to do something useful and actually find food.
Be careful, you guys.
This is the worst expedition ever.
Nah, they just need to let off some steam. And besides, you should rest up before the fight of our lives.
Leading expeditions must be near impossible with those knuckleheads.
Actually, we make a pretty good team. You'd be surprised how useful Stacy's leaf jackets can be. And Jared's pretty smart, and he's also great to have around.
And what about you? What do you contribute to the group?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you're the leader. You're strong.
Strong.
Are you baiting me?
Yes.
How can you be so naive? Even in the highly likely circumstance of a monster ripping your guts out, you have the confidence to say, everything will work out fine, and to flirt with me?
Yeah, I do. Does that bother you?
What bothers me is that I want to be that. I want to be you. I can fix many things, but I can't fix myself. You're a natural-born leader. I'm just a nerd who doesn't know how to have fun.
Oh, come on, Ryan. I know that deep down in you, there's something that wants to be let free, but you suppress it with equations and diagrams. You're one of the top anthropologists in all of Transtopolis, and you're still only 16. But sometimes you just stop thinking so much and let yourself live life.
You make it sound so easy.
Yeah, I know it's not. Hey, if we make it out of this expedition alive, would you like to maybe go get coffee?
Jed, did you just ask me out hours before our deaths?
You got me.
I'd be delighted.
Beep, beep, beep. What does that mean?
It means it picked up where the energy is radiating from. It's that way.
There's my guy. Stacy, Jet, you alive? Over.
Nope, our bodies and our corpses. Does Ryan know where the everlasting rainbow is yet? Over.
Very funny, Jared. Yes, I do. Over.
Aw, proud of you, Ryan. Send us the coordinates and we'll meet you there.
Wow! The everlasting rainbow must be inside this cave.
It's huge!
And cavey.
Come on, let's go in.
Be careful, there might be... monsters!
To be continued.
The Hendrix by Kira. Hey Peter, did you see Allie on your way over here? She's taking longer than usual to come over.
She isn't here already? That's weird, she usually beats me.
Sorry I'm late, guys. Sammy insisted on coming with me.
Yay!
Hey, Sammy. Did you bring it, Ellie?
Yep, my dad's football is in my backpack. He let me borrow it. We have to be careful with it.
That's the one he got signed by John Elway, right?
Yeah, the Broncos are his favorite team.
Pass it, Ellie.
Pass it. I want it.
Here you go. Not over there. That's the Hendrix yard. Now we'll never get back.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, my dad's gonna kill me.
Calm it down, Ellie. You can just ring their doorbell and ask for it back.
No, you can't do that. That house is haunted.
Come on, Harry. There's no such thing as a haunted house.
I'm serious. No one ever leaves the house, but at night you can hear things moving around. The story is that a young couple bought the house a long time ago, but once they went in, they were never seen again. Now their souls are trapped there forever!
I want to go home.
Sammy, you can go home. Tell Mom I'm still playing.
Come on, Ellie. Let's go ask for your football back.
I'm not sure. What if Harry's right?
You can't honestly believe that there are ghosts in that house.
I don't. It's just... Fine. Let's go.
Guys, be careful. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Okay. I can't.
Okay, I'll do it.
Are you scared now?
No! They aren't answering. Should I ring it again?
No way! If there are ghosts in there, we shouldn't make them mad.
How'd it go?
No answer.
Ha! I told you so. There are ghosts in there, and you just proved it.
Well, what should we do now? I need to get my dad's football back. He waited in line for 3 hours to get it signed.
I bet you angered the ghost couple, and they're plotting to kill us as we speak!
Harrison, that's not helpful right now. I'm sure there's a logical explanation to why they didn't answer the door. Anyway, we need to focus on how to get her dad's football back. Let's go see where it landed in their backyard.
There's no way in. They have a huge fence surrounding the backyard. I bet it's a graveyard.
Hey, check this out. The side gate is open. We could sneak in, grab the football, then get out. I'm sure they won't notice.
Wait a sec. Isn't that illegal? That's trespassing on private property.
Yeah, plus the ghost might get us.
I don't care. I need to get the football back. It is one of my dad's most prized possessions. If you guys won't come with me, I'll just go by myself.
You can't do that! You'll have no chance up against angry ghosts!
Though I don't believe in ghosts, I agree with Harry. You shouldn't go alone. I'll come with you.
No, that's not what I meant! I meant don't go at all!
Harry, you can stay here if you want, but me and Peter are going.
Fine. I'll come with you, but it has to be fast.
Okay, let's go on three. One, two, three.
Guys, I'm having second thoughts about this.
Shh.
Guys?
Harry, be quiet. We don't want anyone to hear us.
Guys, seriously, you need to see this.
Okay, Harry, what is it?
Look!
Harry, that's just... Ah, run!
It's a ghost!
Ah! Oh, dear me, children.
What are you youngsters doing in my yard?
We were just trying to get a football that my brother accidentally threw over your fence.
Sorry for trespassing. We tried to ring your doorbell, but no one answered.
Dave, haven't I been telling you to fix that darn thing? No worries, children. I'm Barbara, and this is my husband, Dave.
Wait a second. If you guys were over here, who's that figure we saw by the side of your house?
Do you mean our sculpture? We are avid collectors.
What about the fact that I've never seen anyone go into or come out of your house?
Oh, yes. We should go out more. But it's harder than it used to be with these old joints, you know. Barbara has very sensitive eyes, so when we do go out, it is usually later in the evening.
Oh, that explains it.
Thank you for not getting mad at us for trespassing. Do you by chance know where our football is?
Oh, yes, dear. We were just on our way to give it back. Here you go.
Thank you so much.
We're sorry to bother you. We'll get off your property now.
Wow. I'm so glad that's over. I honestly almost had a heart attack when I saw that sculpture.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm just glad that I got my dad's football back.
Hey, Ellie, Mom says it's time for dinner. Did you get the football back?
Yeah, but you owe me one.
The end.